I love the way, love the direction, that worship went this morning. Just a beautiful flow of starting us off with nature and how it worships God, and us joining in, and then just really how that is the motivation for all that we do. Should be. Hopefully, it's becoming that for us. That our true motivation for service, for action, for being here. For spending time in small groups, for your private worship, all of that flows out of an authentic love for God that really you feel in your heart. I'm not a very emotional person, but there are certain things that draw emotion up for me that God uses, and creation is one of them. So when he started with creation today, I was all in. Some of you guys are that way too. Look on Facebook. I want to tell a little story. If you're a friend of mine on Facebook, then you can find a picture that I posted this morning during worship. I was reminded as we were singing this morning about Talitha and I took a trip to Chicago. Actually, we just went up north on our motorcycle and ended up in Chicago one day and went to, hold on a second, not Saddleback, but Willow Creek church there for Sunday morning service. Outside of being very impressed, the first worship happened when we drove up and there was motorcycle parking, right? And there were like 50 to 60 motorcycles there, so we were already worshiped there in the parking lot, sang a few praises. Now, we walked into the church, and the theme that day was similar to what it was today. We were talking about, you know, God and creation and how creation displays his splendor and all that, and it was very meaningful, but you guys know I'm not very emotional anyway. And so... But at Willow Creek, they had these huge curtains on both sides of the worship stage platform. And when they started singing, I don't remember the song because, again, the lyric wasn't really getting to me. But when they started singing this song about, what was it, Kevin? I think I told you. Thank you. That's why it's a team. See, you got one with memory and one with whatever I have. And so, yeah, this is my Father's world. We're singing it, and we want to get to the last verse, and then changes keys and rises up in a different key, which, I like music too. That happened, and then these curtains went up, and they had waterfalls and all this stuff, actually real waterfalls, outside in their courtyard or whatever. And boy, it just, whoom, yeah. I felt it there, right? So the picture I posted this morning was some worship I had Wednesday morning out in the woods. I always take pictures in the woods, and it really doesn't mean much to most people. Matter of fact, I don't show them because I know I don't do it justice. But if you look at that picture, it's just beautiful morning. And the woods, to me, you know, there are times when I get out in the woods and I'll climb a tree and it's quiet and I see all of that and I think, it's so simple. That God's creation speaks about him, tells the truth about how awesome he is. It's, you know, God's creation, very simply, without thinking, because trees don't think, without making it complicated, without understanding what they're doing, they just are. They exist. They know God. They're created by God, and they display the beauty of who he is. And man, I just find God there. So I say that to say this. I'm going to quit pastoring, and I'm going out in the woods. Some of you are going, really? Good. No, yeah, no, just beautiful out there. Some of you have experienced that. If you're like that with me, say, oh yeah. I say it low because most girls aren't that way, right? No, I'm just picking. That's a joke. It's a joke. Don't get mad. So the beauty of God, man, it's just so simple. If we could just be like, really, if we could just join in the creation, that's already just shouting out the praise of God, shouting out the beauty of who God is, and saying it without, you know, you can't not understand it. When you see it, it's there. There it is. And that's, you know, that's where we're going this year. You know, I kind of warned us at the beginning, at the end of last year, that I believe the Lord wants us to kind of to bring to culmination some things we've been talking about for a long time, but I don't think we get it yet. And that is that God wants to do something in our hearts, is doing something in our hearts, that he doesn't want it to stop with our appreciation for what he did. He doesn't want us to just stop with an appreciation for the things he did, but that it would draw our hearts to him. That's always been God's plan for us, is that our hearts and our would be drawn to him in such a way that it affects the way we live, and it affects what happens when people see us. They're drawn to God. You know, that we would be as simple as a pine tree in a pine thicket with fog all around and the sun coming up in the background. You know, and just the beauty, the simplicity of that, that people would see and know that that's God, it's not us. I knew there's no credit to be given to anybody except for God on that. And so that's where I believe the Lord wants to take us this year. It's this place where our worship is so authentic. Our relationship with God is not something we have to muster up or build up or hold each other accountable for. You know, I say that in quotes because accountability is good, but everybody understand that, right? I shouldn't be having to hold you accountable for authentic worship. That should happen in you. So my goal is that God would somehow, through the foolishness of my preaching over the first part of this year, would somehow draw out of us that thing that he's already placed in us. And that's a deep appreciation and love for who he is that affects the way that we live. That we see him and people see him in us. And they're not drawn to us, they're drawn to him. The only reason they're drawn to us is because they want to come back out in the woods to see him again, right? It's the reflection that we are of Christ. It's not that they want to see us or be around us. And that we wouldn't get out of focus and just enjoy being in the woods. Our story today talks about that. A story from the Old Testament that talks about a man who got out of focus, really. He appreciated so much what God did that he forgot about God. And he forgot about his call. We talked a little bit about that last week. We talked about Samson and his life and how he got so out of focus. He began to focus on his sin and then all of a sudden he forgets his call, but God is faithful and brings him back and allows him to continue to be used, at least in his death. So today I want to go back to the Old Testament again. I want to go to the story of Jonah. It's a very short story, one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament. I want to use his story and just bring some insights. These insights are not deep. They're just very simple, and they're insights that we're aware of. But again, what I'm hoping that God will do, I believe the Lord led me to this for this day, and what I'm hoping that God will do is draw our hearts to consider where we are in the story of Jonah, and then what it is that God wants to do in us to bring us to another place, something different in our lives, in our lifestyle, that would affect us this year, and that it would affect us for the rest of our lives. That God would do a work in us beginning today, that he would begin to do a work in this body to move us outside of where we are to wherever it is he's taking us. Because I do believe this. Y'all with me? Say, oh yeah. Before I say it, I want to make sure you're with me. I do believe this. I believe we're at a place that God's calling us to do something different. That God's about to move us to another type of ministry, another area of ministry, whatever it is, and we can't hold on to where we are and go where God wants us to go. Y'all with me? So it's important that we understand the truths that will come out of this passage today, out of this story. All right, with that said, let's talk about it. Before I read the story of Jonah, before we get into the text, I want to read a passage out of 2 Kings chapter 14. Jonah was a prophet. So he was one who would hear words from God and would give those words to Israel, who again was doing evil in the eyes of the Lord. Remember the broken record of the Old Testament. Israel's doing evil in the eyes of the Lord. Jeroboam is king. He's an evil king. Joash is Amaziah, the son of Joash, the king of Judah, and Jeroboam, his son. All of these kings are following the same tradition. They're doing evil in the eyes of the Lord. They've neglected what God's called them to be and to do. And so here's where Jonah shows up as a prophet. And it's the only text that we have that tells us a little bit, gives us a little glimpse of what happened before the book of Jonah. But Jonah had already experienced great success as a prophet. Unlike any of the prophets of the Old Testament, Jonah's words were actually heeded, and that's rare. In the Old Testament, the words of the prophets are a lot like my words to Talitha. You know, They come out of my mouth, but they have no effect. Right? Amen. Or my words to my kids, actually. All right, so y'all get that. Verse 23. It says, in the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria, and he reigned 41 years. And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which he made Israel to sin. In verse 25, here it is. He restored the border of Israel from Lebohamath as far as the Sea of Araba, according to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, which he spoke by his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, who was from Gath-Hepher. For the Lord saw the affliction of Israel was very bitter, for there was none left, bond or free, and there was none to help Israel. But the Lord had not said that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, so he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. So here's Jonah's assignment. Jonah had a word from God to give to the king about expanding the borders, that this is what God would do, that God would do it. And so he speaks the word. The king obeys what Jonah said or what God said through Jonah. And because of that, the borders are expanded. Israel gets a little bit of relief in the midst of a lot of bitterness, right? A lot of years of following after their flesh and following kings who did not follow God. And so they were suffering. Israel was suffering as a nation because of it. And here comes Jonah with a word from God. Obey this and your borders will be expanded. So great success for a prophet, right? I mean, among all the prophets of Israel, go back and read some of the stories of the prophets and how their words were not heeded. Of all those prophets, those not successful prophets, according to man's view, right? Because now these guys are actually listening and doing what the prophet said. Here is Jonah, success. And so Jonah loves the fact that Israel is doing better because he's obeyed what God told him to do. And he's sitting in that. But Jonah had a new assignment from God. He had a new assignment from God. He couldn't just rest on the fact that God had given him a word and that it was actually received and that everybody was probably talking about, wow, Jonah, you are the man, you're the prophet. You're the one that they finally listened to, and look at what God did because of you. His desire surely was to stay home. Actually, his name means dove or homing bird. Not hummingbird, but homing bird. You know, like a homing pigeon. Like the one that was sent out from the ark that he sent out because what? They knew he would come back. Right? That's what Jonah's word name means. And he's true to his name. He wants to stay there. He loves Israel. He wants to be with Israel. And certainly wants to reproduce what just happened as a prophet of God among a people who are finally listening. So his tendency would be stay. Everything's going well, right? The ministry's going good. My call from God is being completed. I don't want to do anything else. But another assignment comes to Jonah in the middle of that. All right? It's important that we understand the context of that. Because I believe it's where we are. I believe we're at a place where we are enjoying some success in all of our eyes. We're feeling the success. We love it. We love being here. We love being in this congregation. We love being with the people that we're with in life group. We love being with the people at Mommy and Me and doing our FX and our early morning meetings and coming together for worship and having everything the way that God designed us to have it. It's been beautiful. It's God. It's what happens when people obey God. Everybody recognize, hopefully you recognize that this is a pine tree. God is the one that makes it beautiful. You know, we are just a representation of what God's done. We don't need to get used to and excited about pine trees. We need to get excited about the beauty that the pine tree is expressing. We need to not get excited about the church and the people and the experiences and the worship and the Bible studies and the small group time together and the food that we share and the fun that we share and the ministry that we do. We need to redirect and make sure that we are on target with this, that we are falling more deeply in love with God as a result of all this. That we're coming to know him better, not just each other better, right? That we're coming to know him in a deeper way, not just coming to know how to do church in a better way. And I think that's been the failure of so many churches. Certainly would have been the failure of the church that I was pastoring before God redirected my life, because I was going for that. It seems good. It seems right. And God does it, but he does that with purpose. God's call on Jonah's life was not over. It had just begun. And God brought him success, but it was God. God was revealing himself. God had a work that he wanted to do with Israel. God had a work he wanted to do in Nineveh. God had a work he wanted to do in Jonah's life. And all of it was dependent upon, in this story, Jonah walking with God, obeying God. And so we move into Jonah, the story. In chapter 1, verse 1, it says this: Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. All right? There's his command. This doesn't happen in Israel. This happens in a pagan nation. This never happened before. God is sending his prophet to a pagan nation. This is not Israel that he's going to prophesy to. He's going to prophesy to a pagan nation. God's doing something. It's a different kind of work. And so what's going on, number one, is God's hand was on Jonah, right? It was. He experienced God. He was used by God. God had work to do in another city, in Nineveh. And so God is fixing to take someone who he's trained, who is obedient to him, who knows what it feels like to give a prophetic message to a people and see them respond, who has experienced the power of God being used, funneled through his life and through his words to accomplish God's plan. He's going to take a man who has experience and has experienced all that God has for him in ministry, who has a very definite call on his life and knows how to operate within that call, and he's moving him to another location, 600 miles away. Now, 600 miles is a lot here today, but can you imagine in that day? I wouldn't have wanted to go just because of having to ride a donkey for 600 miles, right? So Jonah had a new assignment from God. The problem in Nineveh was similar to the problem in Israel. It's defined the same way, that the people of Nineveh were doing evil in the eyes of the Lord. Of course, who wasn't? If Israel was, surely they were too. So God had a prophet that was trained and ready. Now Jonah's initial response in verse 3, look at it. He says this, or the scripture says this, but Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. So few prophets had seen success. Jonah loved his homeland. His name meant homing bird. He was all about his homeland. But Jonah had a call from God. He was a prophet. He had a call from God, a specific call, a place to go. And what's Jonah's response to that? Well, the first thing is, he goes down to Joppa, and he pays a fare to get on the ship. Boy, it just jumped out to me. He paid a fare. Listen, church, y'all with me still? Jonah was willing to pay a fare to get out of the presence of God. He learned a lesson pretty quickly that he couldn't get away from the presence of God. But the thing that stuck out to me was that he paid a fare to get out the presence of God. And boy, that struck me hard because, he is making an investment in the wrong direction. He's making a major investment in the wrong direction, in the wrong project. And here's where I see us right now as a church. The reason why this strikes me is because I feel like we're at a place where we have plenty of money, right? We got, and you guys are faithful to give. We got plenty of time. to minister, and we're using our time in different ways. But here's where we are. If God is ready to move us to another place to minister, to take our resources and move us this way, to take our time and our energy and our focus in a different direction, what are we going to say to God? Are we going to keep paying a fare in the direction that we're going? Are we looking to get on a ship and go in the opposite direction, the direction that God's going, has us going, because we like the success that we've experienced together here? Are we just going to sit around and enjoy the beauty of what we've experienced with God and talk about it and get nostalgic? Because nostalgia is the beginning of a failure in regards to being having a call from God. When we start talking about what God did way back when instead of what he's doing and who he is that's behind what he's doing, then we're beginning to go downward. I believe we're right on the edge of that. I believe that not because I can see it necessarily, but I believe it because I believe the Lord's revealing that. So let that hit you where it may. Are we going to sit here and continue to pay fares in the wrong direction? Because we're going to pay one way or the other, right? And it costs us something to go the wrong direction. I believe one of the beautiful things about this church, just to illustrate how God has blessed us as we followed his direction in our life, has been what he's done with our finances. Year after year after year, now 5 years, almost 6 years, we have more than been provided for financially for the ministries that God called us to do. And every year, we pledge a budget that's usually about $100,000 more than what we were taking in at the time that we pledged it. Now, that's God. That's God taking care of it. And as long as we continue to move with God in the direction that he calls us to go, there will always be enough resources to take care of what God calls us to do. Would you agree with that? Say, oh, yeah. There's always enough. I've always speculated in my ministry in the past in other churches that the reason we didn't have enough money to do the ministries that God was calling us to do is because we were already paying the fare in the wrong direction. And that can apply to your money. It can apply to the directions you're going in your education. It can apply to the direction you're going in your small groups, in your life groups, in your relationships with people in this body. Are you paying the fare in the wrong direction? Are we going the right direction? Are we ready to receive a call to go in a new place, even if it's a place that we're not really fond of? Well, God dealt with Jonah's disobedience. And thank God that he did. And it's beautiful to hear this, although it's hard to take in. Verse 4 of chapter 1. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each one cried out to his God. And they hurled up the cargo that was on the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down to the inner part of the ship, and he had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give us a thought to us, that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and it fell on Jonah. And they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? Of what people are you?" And he said to them, "I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then he said to them, "What shall we do to you?" Or they said to him, "What shall we do to you, that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. And he said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea, and the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it's because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to try to get back to the dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they called out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. God had a work to do. God had a work that he intended, and that was set in his mind, his heart to do. And God is always going to be faithful to accomplish his work. Y'all with me still? God is going to accomplish his work. God's work is going to be accomplished. His plan, there's no power that can turn back the hand of God. No one can thwart God's plans. When God sets his will in motion, his will be accomplished. And so God had a work to do, and he's faithful to his work. God called Jonah, and he is faithful to his call. You guys have been called by God. We talked a little bit about that last week. We're certainly going to talk a lot more about it this year, about the call that God has on each one of our lives, each believer, and specifically the call that he has on our body in the direction that we're going. It's my role is to ask the Lord, God, what is your vision for this body, and to move us in that direction. But here's what I know, and here's what I'm afraid of for all of us, is that we're losing that vision. That we're taking our eyes off the call of God. And we're paying a fare in the wrong direction. And what's it going to take? I promise you this, God is faithful. He is faithful to his call on our lives. You will never be able to settle in again into the place where you were, whatever that was. You're not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. We can't just settle back and be what we were. God is faithful. He had a call on our lives. If he's called you, then his call on your life is going to continue. So what does he do? God made the necessary adjustments. And these adjustments were effective in Jonah's life. And he will do the same for us. God used the pagans to accomplish his purpose. He couldn't use the called man. He had to use the pagans to accomplish his purpose. And so he gets the storm. God creates the storm. God brings Jonah to a point of confession. And God leads the men to finally throw him into the water. And he's swallowed up by a great fish. Just know this. God is faithful. He's faithful to his work. He's faithful to his call on your life. God's not going to let you sit idle. He's not going to let us just continue to walk through and muddle through what feels good and what he did in this congregation, the first work that he did. There's another work that God has for us. There's a call that we need to be faithful to complete. And what God will do, whatever he has to do to make those necessary adjustments in each one of us individually and in this body as a whole, God's going to do that. We need to recognize that, and some of those things may be painful for us. But I believe the pain comes until we get to the point where we're willing to repent. And so I can't answer that question for you. I can only answer for me, and I have been feeling enough of that for all of us. But I'm committed to this. I'm committed to be the man that God's called me to be, to do the ministry that God's called me to do. And I'm committed to that whether we do that as a body or not. But my prayer is that we'll come together and do that. Man, it's kind of Solomon here this morning. I like that, but I also want to make sure everybody's hearing what I'm saying. I'm not fussing at anybody. But I hope that the Holy Spirit is doing his work in your life if it needs to be done. If you're at a place where Jonah was here, called of God, chosen of God, called to do a work, and you're running away from that and making your investments in the wrong direction, that we'll make our adjustments and come back. Let's move with God. All right? Solemn feeling's okay, but I hope there's a lot of amens going on in your heart right now, right? I know we're not very vocal people. All right? What else happens? Jonah repented. Jonah chapter 2, the whole chapter is about Jonah repenting. Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol, I cried, and you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep. Who did? You did. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and all your billows passed over me, and I said, I am driven from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me and take my life. The deep surrounds me. Weeds were wrapped around about my head and the roots of the mountains. At the roots of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. God's going to accomplish his purpose of turning our hearts. It's going to happen. If you're God's child, he is going to accomplish that work in your life. I believe it's up to us to learn from this story and see the beauty and the grace of God, that he doesn't give up on us, and that we would embrace whatever call God has on our lives, and we begin to move in that direction, again, individually and corporately, that we would move forward to the next call that God has for this body. God gave Jonah a second chance. And Jonah, he worked in Jonah's life. Jonah repented, which God did in Jonah's life. He brought about repentance. And then he gives him a second chance. Look at chapter 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." Same call, right? Same job, same work. God doesn't change. He's faithful. His work is going to be the same. This same work will be here for us next year if we're not willing to move forward together. We'll have a lot of experiences that some of us may or may not enjoy and stay together through, but God will be faithful to bring us to a point of repentance and move us in the direction that we need to go. Same call. And so Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. This time he goes. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." It's a word from God. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh, "By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish." And when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. So God's work with Nineveh was complete. His work was completed. His work never changed. He's faithful to that work. He was faithful to the one that he called. He disciplines him, brings him back into the right place, and Jonah obeys God, and his work is completed with Nineveh. But what about with Jonah? God's work wasn't complete with Jonah. Jonah was angry because he wasn't interested in the things of God. Jonah had become interested in the things that brought about a comfortable life and a good life for him. In chapter 4, in verse 1 through 3, it says, But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, "O Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? That's why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you would be a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live." Jonah didn't want God to show mercy on his enemy, on this capital city of Assyria that had given them so much trouble. Jonah loved his people. He was a homeboy. He hated those Assyrians. And so even when God completed his work through Jonah, Jonah still had a problem, but God wasn't done with Jonah. He was still working in Jonah's life, and God gives Jonah an experience so that he can see the error of his way. Look at chapter 4, verse 4. It says, "And the Lord said, 'Do you do well to be angry?' Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade until he should see what would come of the city. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort." Jonah was used to comfort, right? Jonah liked the comfort. And so God brings a plant up, gives them a little taste of comfort. But when the dawn came the next day, God appointed a worm to attack that plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint, and he asked that he might die, and said, "It's better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Do you do well to be angry for the plant?" And he said, "Yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die." And the Lord said, "You pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle?" Here's what God's doing. God wasn't finished with Jonah, right? It wasn't enough that Jonah just obeyed God even. Now, that was the call, but God was working in Jonah's life. Remember, God's working. God had a work to do in Nineveh. He had a work to do in the people of Israel. He had a work to do in Jonah's life. And God's going to be faithful to that. And so God keeps working in Jonah's life. And he gives Jonah this experience to help him to see the error of his way. Jonah, you're only interested in your own comfort. And you're more ready to die because you lose comfort than you are to die for the sake of 120,000 souls. Jonah, I got work to do. I got people that I need you to go and preach to. I got a land that needs to be touched and lives that need to be changed. Now, I believe God's fixing to do that in this body. I think this is what's fixing to happen for us, is God is about to move us outside of ourselves and into a deeper concern about other people, outside of our comfort, of our sitting under the tree that God's provided. Sitting and soaking it in and sitting in our comfortable places and not moving outside of the places that we need, into the places that we need to be. More obviously into our neighborhoods and more obviously into our workplaces with the gospel. To live our lives and be authentically in love with God and to work that in such a way that our lives begin to glow with the person of God. That people are drawn to him in us. And that we have a message to tell and a word to tell to a people who are dying apart from God, who God has a purpose for and a work to do in their lives. We are the church in this community. That God's calling to be that. And we can't just keep doing things like we've always done it. God created that. But let me tell you, God can take away the tree. He can take the comfort away if it takes that for us to understand the truth that we were not called to just be about ourselves. We weren't called to just be about each other, to just huddle together and spend our time in the cave of the committed and not move outside into this community. And I don't know how God's going to flesh that out for all of us this year, but I know this, that God has a message that we need to hear and we need to respond to. And God will be faithful in each one of your lives. He's going to be faithful to each one of you. This is not a corporate thing. It's an individual thing that ultimately affects the corporate thing. God needs to do this in your life. God showed Jonah his heart. He showed Jonah his heart. Jonah, my heart is for the people. My heart is for Israel. God did this with a pagan nation to draw Israel to himself. As Israel was continually doing evil in the eyes of the Lord, these people responded quickly to God. There was purpose in that. God had a purpose for Israel, for the corporate body. Through jealousy that they would be drawn back to him. God's all about people coming to a knowledge of him that leads them to repentance. And it's more significance than us just enjoying God together. So what about you? What about us? I'm challenged by this message. Man, I'm challenged to consider my life and consider what I do every day and the effectiveness of that. Am I being true to the call of God for my life specifically? Your call is not my call, although some of the things that we share in principle and certainly their biblical mandates that we're going to talk about over the next few weeks and months together. But your call specifically, we may take a different turn or look a little different than mine does. But we all are called to certain things. That God, you know what your call is. And it involves people in this community. It involves getting outside of these walls, which we've said we're all about. It involves getting outside of our comfort zones, which we said we're all about. And it involves being obedient to the things that God's already told us to do as a congregation. And so I hope this hits you right in the heart. And I hope that God will use this to draw your heart to him, to his plans, to his call, to his work. And all of us would find ourselves being more committed to that, asking God to do his work in us and through us. All right, so let's pray in response to today's word from the Lord. I'm going to ask you just to deal where you are to make this time. Just kind of bring some completion to this message today. It has to be completed in your life. It can't just be something that we leave in this building. So let's pray together. As we pray, I want to just ask you to be honest before God, just privately before the Lord, to ask this question. God, am I hanging on to the success of what we've experienced here? Am I hanging on to the good feelings and the people and the ministry experiences that we've had together? Lord, am I holding on to the wrong thing? If so, speak to me. Speak to me. I want to hear your call to the next assignment. Maybe you've heard the call of God clearly, and you have been running in the opposite direction. You've been making your investments in people and time, and it's going the wrong way. You need to make some major adjustments in your life. And I would say that this word from the Lord today is your opportunity to make that change. So just say to God, God, I know you have a new direction for me, and I need to quit spending so much time, energy, money, whatever it is, going the wrong direction. I need to abandon that and move in the direction you want me to move. This is, today can be our whale experience. Today can be our time of confession and repentance. God, deal with our disobedience. How will you go to the next task? Are you going to go reluctantly? Or are you going to go with a passion for the God that you serve and with expectancy that God's going to do something great because he's calling you to minister, whatever it is? And we don't even have expectations of what that will be, just a great sense of expectancy that God's going to do something. When God starts calling us into a new direction in our lives, and there's purpose there. God wants to reveal himself to more people. And we all know this town desperately needs a fresh word from the Lord. This town desperately needs to know God and to see him as more than just religious activity. Father, help us. We are guilty. Father, we're guilty of all these things, and we need repentance today. As a congregation, as individuals, Father, I just pray that you would draw our hearts to the next task that you have for us, that we would not rest and just ignore the message that you have for us today, and that you're going to drive home in the next months, God, as we walk together through your plan for this body. But Father, that we will embrace whatever change needs to happen. And Father, that we will begin to just be more in love with you and more overwhelmed by who you are as we obey and see, Lord, your character revealed in your activity through us. And Father, may we be a light in this community. Accomplish your word, God. We need you to do that. We trust you to do that. We are hopeless and helpless without it. We are your people. And we love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.